Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Israel, the Most High, our power, our God, is one. Father, we bless your name today. Welcome to Blueprint for Life. Call somebody and tell them that we're getting ready to get into the lesson and worship to the Most High, our Abba.
Thank you.
prepare to go before our Father in prayer on this wonderful Shabbat morning as we thank Him and we worship Him.
Shema, 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 Shema.
Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Father, we thank you for this day of worship, the Sabbath, seventh day that you rested from creation, and that you blessed and anointed and made it kodesh, set apart, sanctified. We honor you today, and we pray that your word goes forth, and that our bodies are refreshed and restored today through your word, through the Ruach HaKodesh, your spirit, throughout the four corners of the earth. May our people be encouraged to hold fast to the principles, statutes, laws, and commandments that you set forth for us, that we must find that path and walk therein and not take what's being spoon-fed to us. We break and destroy the curses, generational curses, and every foul spirit and every foul demon in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, whom this world ignorantly calls Jesus Christ. We ask that you bring forth deliverance to your people, and we love you and praise you.
That Yeshua, our Messiah,
Blueprint for Life. I am Elder B, brought to you by Alma Point at Last Ministries, House of Israel Deliverance Assembly. I'm here with Sister Tamar, and we are here to bring forth the word of Yah and just to fellowship with you and share with you and come together over the airwaves and hold down, hold fast to our Abba's doctrine, his laws, his commandments that Satan and this world wants to tell you are done away with, because that was a part of his plan in Isaiah 14, his five-point plan to become like the Most High and be worshipped like the Most High and present false religion that you feel you can verify through your flesh. But no, sir, Blueprint for Life is designed to show you the relevance of his statutes, laws, and commandments today. You're not bound by the law. No, the law shows you your sins and what they are, that you might be set free, because 1 John 3 and 4 says transgression means sin. Sin is the transgression of the law. The breaking of the law is what sin is. And then 1 John 2, 3 and 4 tells us, we hereby do know that we know him, the Most High Yah, if we keep his commandments. So you don't even know him if you're not keeping it. So for someone to teach you that it's done away with is to keep you from the working knowledge and power of God, Yah, the Most High, the one true and only Most High God. The only way you can know him is through the fellowship of his suffering. People don't want to suffer today. And by keeping the commandments, which crucifies the flesh. And people don't want to kill their flesh. They want to enhance their flesh. So these laws transform you. He said, be ye transformed by renewing your mind, changing how you think. How do you change how you think? He said, meditate on my laws day and night. You begin to see things from a different standpoint, which is why we call this show a blueprint for your life. That's what the commandments are. It was good. You see 86 times in the New Testament the disciples going to keep the Sabbath. And they tell you that the Saturday Sabbath, which is the day of worship, is done away with. No, it's not. The Roman Catholic Church came in the 1800s and tried to make Sunday church law, the first day of the week, which is only the Acts 2 paradigm, where we come together to raise money. Because we don't deal in money on the Sabbath. Go to Nehemiah 13 and you'll find that out. You're not supposed to be buying, selling, cooking, marketing. No, we don't do that on the day of worship. We pull out of the system and out of this world and we focus on Yah. Rest your body. I know my body needs it. How about yours? So we will never be done with the Sabbath. It's a holy day. It's a beautiful day. It's not a day for shopping, cutting the grass, washing your car, going to get your hair and nails done. It's the time when you give Yah some time. You don't have to commute, get in the hustle and bustle, fuss and fight with your coworkers, rush the kids off to school, shut it down, and be blessed mm-hmm. by him. Let him restore you physically and spiritually. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So with that being said, we're going to get into it today. Got a few things to cover and talk about, but we're going to have a good time in Yah mm-hmm. and blessing his mm-hmm. name and praising him and worshiping him. So we're going to come back. We're going to give it over to Sister Tamas. She's going to come with the first part of our ministry, which is the herbal health and healing ministry that we've established a couple of years ago, Am Hoida Health and Herbs. And we want this to be a blessing to you as well. So we'll be right back after this quick break.
Yeah, I want to sing my song. Mr. Gardner, Mr. Gardner. But I got to say like David and make some declarations.
For sure.
You know, you see the day and age that we're living in. You can't try to see from the hand that feed it.
But mama, you
some of us do that. You know?
Yeah.
But listen.
All praises to the Most High. This is a beautiful Sabbath day here in Northern California. This is Sister Tama. I am here at Am Hoida with Elder V. This is our herbal healing segment. And before I get started, I want to say a few things about what Elder V stated about keeping the Sabbath. And so as I'm doing the research for what I'm going to bring out today during this healing segment, mom's been texting me all morning, but she texted me this last time and I flipped over And she's at the nail shop. We're going to pray for our parents. We're going to pray for both our parents. She's at the nail shop. But this is, this, I'm going to read this text to you. And it just blew me away. And I have to be mindful with my words with her. But she at the nail shop, and she's showing a picture of her nail tech. And she goes, "Hi, guys. Aren't you glad we have God that supplies all of our needs?" At the nail shop, she's feeding her god Buddha breakfast. She was late coming because she had to buy food for him, burning incense and praying. What if we love and cared about our only true, wise, living God like that? Just saying, what can I say? Woo! Stop looking at me like that. Older B is like, he shot an eye over here quick.
So she lets you know that the nail lady
nail tech
was late doing her nails for her because she had to take time to worship Buddha.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
So she's
I have.
I'll get to you later.
Right.
You should be somewhere keeping the
right.
But
that's
first, let me worship Buddha.
Let me worship and food for Buddha.
She bought fruit and
the
Buddha
and burn incense
Buddha.
And praying. And she was late.
And
we. We're going to leave it right there. All I'm going to say is I'm going to pay for my mom. Only comment I made was mom. And that was it. Because I know I'd be like, well, you know, we could have reiterated a little bit fur on that text and said, well, you know what? If you keep the Sabbath, you know, but just pray for our parents. Pray for their ignorance. And ignorance is not a bad word. It's just that they lack knowledge. So, okay, I'll change it. Let's pray for their lack of knowledge, as in Hosea 4 and 6.
Actually.
Mm-hmm.
What the ignorance is, they ignore.
Ignore. That's right. That's right. That's right. They
it's
ignore
like
them.
We're not keeping it.
We're not keeping
them,
it. We're
like,
not showing them.
Crazy. Don't sit down somewhere.
Yeah. Right. You did. You know, the last, I think, comment I had with her, she's like, you didn't learn so much. You think you've learned so much now. You just learned just enough to get by. That's what she said. So, you know, we're praying for our parents because every generation has their own way of doing things. And there is a particular generation that's waking up, and he has called the awakening for such a time as this. And so we just have to pray for our brothers and sisters that are still asleep because he hasn't chosen them to wake up. And we continue to pour into them, plant seeds, love them, honor them by keeping the commandments. And make sure that we're doing everything we can to do his will. All right, I just want to say that. But back to our herbal segment. This is our beautiful segment where we bring out healing. We talk about healing. We talk about her health. We're very transparent about what we do in our home and how we keep our bodies fit and lean and try to make sure we're eating and doing the best things that we can. Oftentimes, Elder B and I will get off track. One day we'll stop going to the gym for a couple of days and we'll start eating bad. But then it's like a shaking comes. And the Most High said, that is not what I need you to have in your temple. And then we start detoxing. And so it's a process. And I want you to think that Elder V and I, we got it all figured out. But we're learning like you. It's a process to keeping our bodies in fit. It's a process to training our body, our minds, our bodies, and our souls to be just like Yah. And so I always like to put this disclaimer out. I'm not a physician. I'm not practicing medicine. I'm not writing any prescriptions. I'm not doing all those things. Everything that I give to you, you can find on Google, Bing, whatever your search engine, and type in a few words and go maybe to the third, fourth posting, because the first couple of ones, they're just to, you know, keep you asleep. But if you go down to where people have actually did the research and they really put a thought in how they can give information out, I'm giving that information here on this website, on this broadcast. I'm sorry. So with that said, so around 7 o'clock, 7:30, 7:20 this morning, we woke up and Elder V woke me up actually with a comment. He said, I was snoring. What did you call me, babe?
Lumberjack.
Lumberjack. And for me as a lady, that's not sexy. my husband telling me that I'm snoring like a lumberjack. And so the first thing I do is I get up and my mind start processing like, Father, what can I do? What am I doing for my man to tell me
that
I smell? But for women, when we hear our husbands, our significant others say we're snoring, that's not sexy. Men will tell them we're snoring, and we're like, okay, babe, you got to turn over. You know, I know when he snores, sometimes I'll turn him over. Turn on your side because
okay,
I can't sleep.
Got them all in my bed,
but I wanted to talk about that today. So we're going to talk about helping. There's herbs for snoring and things we can do to help with snoring. If you are snore, a lot of women will say, I don't snore. But if your husband is saying that you're snoring or your daughter, you're snoring. And I know it's not a nice thing, but we're going to help you get through that. And we're going to talk about it a little bit. So basically, what is snoring? So snoring is basically a lack of the air moving freely through your nose and your throat while you sleep. And this happens because the tissues are vibrating around that area, and it's causing you to snore. And so some of the ways you can prevent snoring, of course, you know, if you sleep on your side. I know oftentimes you sleep on your side, and by sleeping on that side for so long, it'll get numb or it'll get stiff. And so simply just sleep on the other side. But let's talk about what type of snore we have. There's four types of snores. You got one that keeps the mouth open and snore, right? And that may indicate that the tongue and the nasal pathways are clogged, right? You got one that open that keeps their mouth closed and they're snoring. Then you have the back snore. They lay on their back and they're snoring. And then you just have the snore that whether they lay on their back, they side, they front, they back, they're going to snore. And so some things that we can do as men and women to combat the snoring is one, peppermint oil and gold seal. Everyone know peppermint oil, that's been around for years, but golden seal, let's talk about that. Golden seal is used for common colds, upper respiratory infections, and stomach pain, constipation, right? So you'll get some of that. You'll also get some spearmint and some fenugreek. Fenugreek fights sleep apnea. Again, fenugreek fights sleep apnea. It also helps with the digestive issues that you have. Now, as I'm reading and doing the research, it sounds like a lot of the snoring that you may have, you could have digestive issues, problems in your diet. If you're constipated, if your bowels are irritated, if your stomach is feeling a certain way, all those things in your stomach, it's amazing how our body, if one area of our body is not in check, it throws everything else off. But all praises to the Most High, He gives us signs and signals. Our bodies signal us to change our lifestyle, change what we eat, and how we can take care of our body. So fenugreek is one. Another one, vitamin C. Vitamin C is good. It helps prevent and promote a healthy immune system. So definitely get the vitamin C. Others like papaya, pineapple, broccoli, red peppers, those are where you're going to get your vitamin C that will help you fight sinus. Eucalyptus oil is a good one with peppermint. I remember back in the day, even some now, I'll get a big pot of water, I'll put eucalyptus oil and let it fill the room and inhale and exhale and get your nasal passages open so you can have a better sleep. And then, of course, if we do it man's way, we go to the doctor, they want to put an oral appliance in your mouth. And I will let that be the last result. If you've tried all these herbs, you've changed the way you sleep, whether you're on your side or on your back or whatever the case may be, and the herbs are still not helping you combat this, definitely seek your physician and probably get an oral appliance to help. But again, that's your dentist, and that will be the last thing to do. Some of the things that contribute to the snoring, we'll continue to go on that, is your body weight. You got to get your body weight back to normal. So if you're seeing an increase in your body weight, that can trigger that snoring because you're heavier. The weight is around your throat, your neck. Got to get it down. One, consider getting a humidifier. That will also help with removing the snoring problem because it's fresh air in your room or in your living room, wherever you're at, and it's circulating. So it's natural breathing in and out. Another thing, it tells you to limit and avoid alcohol. And it's amazing when it comes to our body. It always talks about limiting alcohol, limiting smoking, because in most cases our body is not equipped to consume a lot of alcohol, which causes the snoring. I know there's scripture that talks about, you know, how Yeshaya turned water into wine, and how at the festivals they had wine. But it's telling you to limit it, not to be do it, you know, to get into drunkenness or overeat.
Right.
Another one, it says, try throat and tongue exercises. And you definitely want to do the research on that, and how to get those exercises incorporated into your life. Another one, avoid dairy products. And I know my husband's going to have something to say on this one. Avoid dairy products and stop eating big meals late at night. That's the problem. And he got on me yesterday about, hon, you got to eat more during the day. And I think because I get so busy, I wait till I get home. The snack monster is home. I mean, pretzels, peanut butter. We'll have salmon and quinoa, and then I'll get, you know, some dairy-free ice cream. It's just like a snack monster because
I got a snack because you don't eat during the day.
That's what it is, because I don't eat during the day. So now I know the problem, one of the root problems of my snoring. But I just want to encourage you, do the research as always. You know, fitness level, if you're obesity, you got to lose weight. If you're obese, lose the weight, because that will help. And then also it said women that are going through menopause, that tends to happen the older we get, you know. And they said at least around 70, you're just going to be a snore. Men will be snoring too. So there you have it. General aging, it causes that between 45 and 64, your throat becomes narrow. The muscle tone in your throat decreases, so thus you're going to snore. Nasal and sinus problems, alcohol smoking, certain medications will cause you to snore. And so I just want to throw that out there. A couple of takeaways from that is definitely do your side sleeping, the peppermint oil and golden seal, spearmint and fennel, Greek, vitamin C, eucalyptus, peppermint, or oral appliance. Weight maintenance is key, humidifier, limit and avoid alcohol, throat and tongue exercise, and the key one, avoid dairy and big meals late at night. That will help you with your snoring. So I just want to encourage you, do the research. Definitely don't take what we have. Like I said, go on Google it. There's some very good information on how to help us. There are actual doctors that have did the research, again, to make sure that we're getting everything we need. And here on Amhoida, we're bringing this information to you free. We're not asking for any donation or any type of offering tithe. No, we love this word. We love Yah. We love helping our people. And this is a part of our ministry here at Amhoida. All right. Before I turn it back over to Elder V for the reading of the law, just some brief announcements. We are coming up on Pentecost. That will be this week. I know a lot of us are celebrating Pentecost on different days, different times, and different months, but Pentecost is coming. Definitely want to avail yourself to be in the presence of the Most High and just do what you can to worship Him and during that time. On Tuesdays, most time willing, we'll have the Heart of a Hebrew Woman lesson. On Wednesday, Inspirational Wednesday, and then here again back on the Sabbath day for our Sabbath lesson. And with that said, I hope you enjoyed the herbal segment, the information that I've been able to give to you. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We're on Facebook. We're also here at Blog Talk.
Facebook at
Amhoida Church. Facebook. All right. With that said, I hope you have a beautiful Sabbath. Rest, relax, release. This is Sister Tamar.
Right. And we will come right back to you after we take another brief break. And I hope that did bless you with the herbal segment. You can go into the archives. We've done a ton of work through the Most High's grace and power on different herbs and things that can heal you and cleanse your body instead of you taking pharmaceutical medicines, unless that's just the last resort because you're so bad, your body is just so off. But you need to detox more. And there's so many things you can detox with. But we'll share with you, as we said, A-L-M-H-O-I-D-A, Almhoida Church at Facebook. Reach out to us, message us there. And hey, if there's something you're dealing with, struggling with, and you want some insight as to some suggestive supplements that can help you, reach out to us. We do this every day. We go to the store, we go to the restaurant. Somebody's suffering, we tell them, go get some of this. And with time, you can be better. Just want to also holler back, emphasize Pentecost, 50 days from Passover, which is past, and the beginning of unleavened bread. We're coming upon the 50 days, which is in the Bible, where the Holy Spirit fell and descended. He told them to go into the room and wait. And only 120 remained in the room when over 500 were sent. And those that waited, cloven tongues of fire sat upon each of them. And they received that power. So it's not a minimal little small feast. It's the day of the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, the day of power. And we look for that day. We're going to do the reading of the law when we return.
Keeping his day, yeah. We're going to be ready when Christ returns. They be having church on the wrong day. And they despise everything that we say. Yeah. Even when we show them in the Holy Word.
The fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And we should always honor the Most High and do exactly what He says. And don't let the non-believer convince you that the law is done away with. You just rest and chill with the Most High, cause the Father knows who's here. So you tell me, we're chilling on the Sabbath.
Say, hey, say we're chilling.
We're chilling on the Sabbath.
Don't call me, I won't even be answering my phone.
We're chilling on the Sabbath.
Say we're chilling on the Lord's Day.
We're chilling on the Sabbath.
See you back though, when you tell them this right here.
Now don't look for me. Oh no.
Hallelujah. Welcome back to Blueprint for Life. I'm Elder B, along with Sister Tama. Brother D's not here with us today. He's actually preparing himself for his, I'm not going to say transition, because he's not transitioning. He's moving to another state, so you're in our prayers. I know he's trying to get everything, his affairs in order as he prepares for true retirement. Deacon Albert Ron, for true retirement. And just enjoy the fruits of his labor. We're going to get into the reading of the law. As I mentioned at the beginning of the lesson, that this is the essence and substratum, foundation of Blueprint for Life. The platform is to teach people how to implement God, the Most High, Yah's laws into your life today. They're not done away with. Only a portion of them are done away with because we don't have to make sacrifices anymore. See, when people tell you the law is done away with, they're telling you a portion of the law is done away with. As spoken of in Daniel's the 9th chapter, and the daily sacrifice that ceased in the midst of the week. Well, that's what happened when Passover happened, and he met with the disciples in the upper room. He was being prepared to be our once and eternal sacrifice. So the sacrificial law was where we used to depend on the blood of goats and bulls and pigeons and give it to the priest once a year to atone for our sins. We don't have to do that. We're living in a grace dispensation, and he shed his blood once and for all time. And so the grace is for us to be able to come back and keep his laws. But he knows that, yeah, we fall short because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of Yah. And when we do fall short, we get back on track. We don't just say, forget it, I can't do it, I'm going to do whatever and just believe I'm going to be okay when I see it. That's like you saying, I'm not going to go pay this restitution, I'm not going to do the time, I'm not going to go to these classes, and I just believe when I go see the judge, she's just going to let me go. You know that's not going to happen because she's going to go back to the ordinances of the city and ask you, did you do what you were told to do? Did you serve the time? Did you do the community service? Did you pay your fines? You didn't? Okay, so this is what's going to happen. The only thing you're going to be judged by when you stand before Yah is the laws and ordinances and statutes he's already put out there for you to keep. Not talking about, well, I had established a grace so y'all can do what you want. That's the way of the world, and believe it or not, that is the tenet of the satanic church. do what thou wilt. You saw Jay-Z wearing the shirt, Kanye. They wear the shirt because Aleister Crowley taught the Beatles and the First Satanic Church and everyone else that you only live once. There are no constraints. Let nothing constrain you. And here's the problem, people. The Holy Spirit is a constrainer. That's what Pentecost is all about. The Holy Spirit says, I will not even, until the Holy Spirit is taken away, he will let the Holy Spirit be a constrainer. But when he removes his spirit from this earth, this world, people are going to be living on the principle of the satanic churches, do what thou wilt and do who thou wilt and do what sex you want to be. And decide if you want to be a woman one day, a man the next day, gender changing, gender swapping, and everything is okay. And this is all satanic disguise. He's bringing deception on the whole world. Most High has given you statutes, laws, and commandments. When you used to sin back in the biblical times, you could be stoned. You could be stoned and put to death. That's not. But now, you're not stoned or put to death because of what he's done through his sacrifice. Now, the moral commandments are definitely still a part of your life. What are the moral? What is the moral law? The Ten Commandments, and that's what we're going to look at today, the moral law. Another part of the law that we look at every Shabbat is the dietary law, which is not done away with. For your own good, it's not done away with. People misconstrue the passage with Peter where he said, rise, slay, and eat. People misunderstand that chapter, but that's not my lesson today. I can do that another time, or you can message me, and I'll give you some information on that. That's not done away with. And this is the reason why so many of you have diseases, sickness, high blood pressure, cancer, lupus, because you're not adhering to the dietary law. There were things that were put on this earth that are not meant for us to consume, and other nations have turned them into delicacies, and they charge $30 a pound, and you think, I got to have some of that. No, you don't. Your body was not created or designed to eat such a thing. So what we're going to do today is focus on these laws right here, the Ten Commandments and those statutes. And I want to go through them real quick because there's only one really I want to talk about, because you heard me alluding to the deception that's in the world. And so I'm alluding to the deception that's in the world because I want you to see how the church, motivational speakers, where all your pastors want to be motivational speakers now. And there's a reason behind this. It's a sinful, sinister plot to get people into covetousness. And we're going to break that down. Now, if you go to Exodus 20, you'll find the Ten Commandments. You'll find the 10 in the 20. That's what I always say. You'll find the 10 in the 20. I'm not going to go through them because you should know all of them. Should I say them anyway, babe? Okay. First commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And that's Exodus 20 and 3. Number two, you want to go ahead and read that?
You should not make any graven images. No graven images. You should not take the Lord, our Elohim, his name in vain. Number four, as we all know, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Number five.
Wait, let's say something about that.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, go ahead. You can say it right there.
Oh, and so back to number four, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. That's Exodus 20 and 8. In wisdom and grace, God commanded, our Elohim, he commanded his people to observe a weekly day of rest. The Sabbath was to be observed in imitation of our Elohim's own work in creation.
That's what we're doing. We're imitating.
We're practicing what he did.
What
we're
he
doing
did.
Exactly.
Exactly.
We're saying we want to be like him. We need to act.
So we don't go around saying the Sabbath, this is Tuesday this week.
No.
Oh, it's Wednesday next week.
Right.
Oh, I'm waiting on the moon. The moon going to tell me.
Right.
He said, like, imitate me. Work 6 days.
Right. And be off.
And be done a day.
It's one day.
All right. Let's get the rest of them.
Number five, honor our father and our mother. That's Exodus 20 and 12. Number six, you should not murder. Exodus 20 and 13.
Don't forget the fifth commandment about mother and father is the only one that comes with a promise.
Right. Number seven, do not commit adultery. Number eight, don't steal. It's just wrong. So definitely don't steal. Number nine, never bear false witness. So gossiping.
And last but not least, the one that I want to talk about today.
Covetousness. You should not covet. Our Elohim has promised to meet all our needs, both spiritual and physical. You should therefore be content in whatever he has provided us.
So we're going to get into those scriptures. Covetousness or contentment? Which one do we want? And here is the problem. Nobody is satisfied today. Everything is a temporary fix, a temporary high, a temporary relationship, a temporary job, a temporary assignment. In the Bay Area, they were talking about how people are changing jobs so quick in the Bay Area because the job market is hot right now in Northern California. You can just take an assignment. You can work an app. You can go drive Uber, Google. Nobody's committing to jobs for 40 years and getting a watch and retiring anymore. But what it is also a spirit that's in the atmosphere where people are not satisfied with much for long. And they're always looking for something to give themselves peace. There's somebody in our life who just can't sit still. I think they've moved 100 times in the last 2 years. That's because there's no peace. And there's no contentment. And we don't know about godly contentment and how he gives us that. And I'm going to expound on that today. But here's another trick with the covetousness. I don't know if you've noticed the rise of motivational speakers in society. Back in the 70s and 80s, there were probably only one or two, Zig Ziglar, Tony Robbins. But now all of your pastors desire to be motivational speakers. Now, I will agree, our people have PTSD because we've gone through 400 years of mind conditioning, mental slavery, literal slavery. But there's still no substitute for the word of God. The word of Yah must be implemented when you are doing therapy. It has to be spiritual therapy, because the only spiritual therapy that really exists for the mind of the Hebrew man and woman is deliverance. There must be deliverance, which only comes through prayer and fasting. Mark 9 and 23, these kind come out but by prayer and fasting. You've got to have these things in your life. Hallelujah. And that's what we're going to talk about, because what is happening in society are people becoming delusional. That is the question. The motivational speakers are putting thoughts into people's minds to get them to imagine and think that they're more than they really are. And everybody wants to keep up with the Joneses because there's a psychological term known as comparative self-worth. You value yourself according to how you compare to someone else on TV, and everything on TV is fake. How you compare to one of your coworkers who's driving a Ferrari, you don't know they're in debt, paying a $900 a month car note and lying and stealing to live in that condo and pay that car note, or to have that girlfriend or boyfriend with the fake everything. And so you don't even realize it, but you want to be like them. And that would tell you that you've arrived. And that's a lie, because you're not content with the things that the Most High has blessed you with. And here's where the delusional aspect comes in. The motivational speakers are covertly getting you to break the 10th commandment by getting you to put pictures on your wall and visualize yourself doing something. You are actually coveting something when you put up an image and tell yourself, I'm going to have that every day, instead of being satisfied with what God gives you. Because the Bible says that the blessings of Yah make rich and add no sorrow. That means that when God blesses you, there's no interest payment. When God blesses you, it's paid off. When God blesses you, it's pressed down, shaken together, running over, spilling over. It's with abundance. And at the end of the day, what does the Most High's blessings do? It blows your mind, because no man gets the glory. You'd be like, why didn't I think of that? Because you're not God. And so the motivational speakers are getting into a place where they're trying to get people to envision. And here's another thing besides envisioning. They're saying, speak it every day. Say this every day. Just tell yourself. And every day. You have to be cautious, because that falls on the premise of witchcraft. Because we're living in a self-imaging and me-isms, and I am this and I am going to be that. And I can name it and claim it. And that. No, Most High knows what things you don't need. But Satan will definitely give you everything you want, just as he came to Christ after 40 days of fasting and said, I'll give you this entire kingdom. I'll give you what you want. Don't, and you thinking that it's God will take it, but guess who it is? It's the God of this world. And how does the God of this world operate? 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, 4th verse, whom the gods of this world have blinded the minds of the people. And what are the gods? It's the things that you're coveting and worshiping. When you put a picture of a house and a Lamborghini and a woman on your wall and said, I'm going to have that in 5 years, you have idolized that, so you're in idolatry. It's become your God because you're worshiping that, and you feel like you're not satisfied or blessed until you have that. Hallelujah. No, I'm preaching up in here. So you shall not covet is more than just a word. You're not understanding the breakdown of covetousness. I want you to see something. We're going to get into some scriptures, but there's one that jumped out at me in Ezekiel 33. You want to read it? Ezekiel 33 and 31. I want you to hear what this one says about covetousness.
Ezekiel 33 and verse 1. Again, the word of our Elohim came unto him, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people...
Ezekiel 33 and 31?
I'm sorry. I thought you said one.
33 and 31.
Ezekiel 33 and 31. That was sounding good. What else? 31. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them.
Huh? They will not do what?
They will not do them.
The Bible says in Revelation 22 and 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, not keep them, but do them, for they shall have a right to the gates of that city. So that must be done. But go back to the do.
It says, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they don't do them. For with their mouth they shew much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. So he's saying, you speak one thing, saying, I love you, but in your heart.
You're chasing after things. And this world has taught us to chase after things through the prosperity movement. Even in church on Sunday, it's chasing after things through paying your tithes and offering, chasing after the building fund. Everybody is chasing after things when it's supposed to be contentment. And 1 Corinthians 6 and 10 says, talks about the people that's not getting in heaven, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, people that hang out at the clubs, nor swindlers, people that try to get over on people with pyramid schemes, will inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, we could go on when it comes to covetousness, and that's why we're talking about it today. For this you know, Ephesians 5 and 5, for this you know with certainty that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater, see how covetousness and idolatry works hand in hand, has inheritance of the kingdom of Christ. This is why a lot of y'all not going, because the world and the church has tricked you into becoming an idolater and a covetous man and woman. You want the next man. That's why you get a divorce like that. You want the next woman. That's why you get a divorce like that. You want that next house. That's why you're trying to get into the schemes and the swindles and the lies and quick money. And I get you in and come on in under my wing and let's do this marketing thing. Man, you'll come up, sell this water and do this and that. It's always something to get you to chase your dream. And that's why every time you see, like there's a motivational speaker, which we love because he does great videos. But when we went to see his bio and background, he presented a lifestyle that he's living to us to make us say that his principles work. And that will seduce you. So we have to take the meat and spit out the bones, because I see what you promoting, a satanic chasing that. You put that image in people's minds so that they can chase that and say, if I do what he's saying, do that, I can have what he has.
Right.
And this is what pastors and preachers are doing.
Right.
Go ahead.
It's a reverse psychology, because after just listening to what you said, in my spirit, the whole plan is to get man to stop chasing and seeking the Most High.
Right. And Satan is slick. That's a part of his Isaiah 14 5-point plan to get man to worship him. He done crept into the churches and houses. Mm-hmm. This is why the woman is leaving the man, talking about, look, we ain't got nothing. Look at Dale and Roshonda down the street. They just bought a new Benz and an Escalade and some new furniture. And you sit up in here working at Kentucky Fried Chicken. We on this old Rent-A-Center couch. It's the devil. That's how he works. Instead of saying, I remember when we didn't even have furniture.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when you couldn't even find a job. God, I thank you for what we have.
Mm-hmm.
There is so many blessings in understanding the Most High's blessings through simplicity, and that's the contentment he's trying to get us into. You got something you want to say? Scriptures.
It's truly amazing how these scriptures, when you awaken to this truth, how the scriptures penetrate and pierce your heart, because it's supposed to change you from your stinking thinking. And the world is telling you to do one thing, but God's word saying, you do my way, this is what gets you in the kingdom, not man's way. So it's amazing. That even goes to jobs. We always, like you said, we always want something better. And often because we feel that there's a lack of fulfillment, whether it's in our career, and something that we ourselves want to accomplish. And that's why it's so important that we line our thinking up with Yah and make sure that we're not moving based on emotion.
Yeah, you want to know why I titled this delusional and delusion? Because delusional disorder has taken over society and has people on drugs because they can't achieve what somebody told them they can be, and they don't have the gifts and talents, and that people are trying to be something that they're not. Delusional disorder is a generally rare mental illness in which the patient presents delusions, but with no accompanying prominent hallucinations, thought disorder, mood disorder, significant flattening of effect. Delusions are a specific symptom of psychosis. When you start talking about psychosis, you become delusional through demonic spirits possessing you. People have poured so many lies and false doctrine into you that you've taken on what's big with these entertainers now? An alter ego. You become something you're not, and you become delusional. And it leads to possession. And then you start seeing delusions. And then you go to the doctor to treat it because it turns into anxiety. Because anxiety will make you delusional. And the doctor thinks he can treat it, and you have to be delivered, not treated, which is why we preach deliverance. Let's look at the word delusion by itself and not delusional disorder. The word delusional is characterized by or holding idiosyncratic beliefs or impressions that are contradicted by reality. You're holding on to something that you believe, but what you see contradicts everything you believe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or rational argument, typically as a symptom of mental disorder. You have become delusional because you can't even see the facts. Satan has got your mind twisted. And if you go back and listen to a series I did on triggers and a lesson I did on strongholds. Strongholds are when a box is put on your brain and nobody can tell you any different from what you have been led to believe through false information. And then you become delusional. Here's what you need to understand about becoming delusional. What did Yah? Why is he going to? See, you need to understand that it's Bible. Get 2 Thessalonians 2 for me, 10 and 12. The Bible, the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures make it clear why the Most High is sending a strong delusion in the end times. We're living in the end times, and in the end times, people are delusional. The whole world is believing science. They're being deceived by science and the hope and promise of science. God said because they refuse to listen to the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12.
Okay, 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12. And with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Verse 11. Now for this cause, our Elohim shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie.
Mm.
Verse 12. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
Let's say lie. That's my whole lesson today about the delusional society we live in, because it was prophesied according to the scripture. The Most High said he sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. The Most High is the one, he said, I create the good and the evil. He said, I'm going to send it and let you believe that lie. I'm going to send. Satan's already been thrown down here on the earth. He got an angel, a spirit that he'll send on you so that you will believe that lie. So that you'll be condemned because you don't want to believe the truth. And the Bible said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And then what does it say after that?
Because you have forgotten me.
I will forget you and your children.
That's right.
But it also says in 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12, condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. This whole world delights in being wicked. Simply put, the Most High sends a strong delusion to those who choose not to believe the gospel of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, this world calls. Those who take delight in mocking God and rejecting him. This whole world mocks him. There's no God. Your religion is false. God is not against gay marriage. God is not against homosexuals. You can do this. You can do that. And they reject the truth and a whole message of repent. He will condemn. He is going to condemn you. And what he's going to let you believe it. You believe homosexuality is okay, and you're trying to find scriptures to twist it so that it can fit the narrative of your lifestyle. He will send strong delusion on you so you will believe that lie, and you will go to hell. You got pastors who got first men, not first ladies in their church.
Oh my God.
Sitting up there trying to preach to people talking about come to Christ. What Christ you talking about? It is man's choice whether to accept and believe the truth of Yeshua HaMashiach as presented in the Holy Scriptures. To receive the truth and love of Yah offers is in keeping with his teachings. This Bible is tight, but it's right. People don't want to hear this Bible. They want to change it. They got a Queen James Bible for the homosexuals. And then they got the NIV with 100,000 words and phrases and scriptures taken out because they want to deceive people. Conversely, to know the truth and to not obey it is to face the wrath of Yah. The wrath of Yah is being revealed from heaven against this world, against godlessness and wickedness. At the same time, when you see man's progress in technology, are we not seeing more storms, murders,
right.
killings,
right.
shootings, human trafficking, measles, sickness outbreak, vaccinations,
mm-hmm.
corrupt politics, wars, rumors of wars, but everybody thinks things are getting better? It's the lie. You believe the lie. And he let the delusion come on you so you will believe the lie. Because
mm-hmm.
you're living in a delusional society based on the prophecy of 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12. So you've gotten into covetousness. It's because you're believing the lie. You're believing the fake pastor that's doing psychosis on you on Sundays. You're believing the lie of speak it, name it, claim it, and go after riches and don't be content with the blessings of Yah. Colossians 3 and 5 says this, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, to impurity, to passion. Oh, I'm just passionate about my work and my art and my people and my friends and my lover. No. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, things that are immoral. You know what that is. Impurity. You know what's not pure. Cursing. Dressing, people you hang out with, the way you talk and think, to passion. Oh, I love drinking wine and listening to my music and just being passionate. You're supposed to be dead. That's a spirit that will overtake you. Now, I got another one. To evil desires. I'm going to get that sucker.
It'll come.
And to greed. Man, I got 100,000 in my account. If I could just turn that into a quarter mil, then I could turn this quarter mil into a mil. Why did he say that? He said, because it all amounts to idolatry, which is covetousness. People,
the 10th commandment, which was the last of the 10, thou shalt not covet. You shall not look at what somebody else has and say, one day we're going to get there. Don't let your wife make you fall into that trap. Don't let your kids make you fall into that trap. Don't let your kids be like, you need to find you a rich man and get rid of daddy. With his broke. Same thing with you men, because y'all some gigolos out here now. This is the women's Me Too movement. These women is making money now. They CEOs making six figures. I'm trying to find me one at the club. Because he a janitor at night making $16 an hour.
And nothing's wrong with that.
Nothing's wrong with that. But he's trying to get over. But the problem is he's going to say, he's going to change the title, janitor.
The narrative.
To change the narrative and lie about it. Because the purpose of what he's doing is to deceive the woman to get something else that doesn't belong to him.
So he'll be a cleaning specialist.
Comfort, yeah, maintenance, yeah. So anyway, I wanted you to see the importance of covetousness. When you read the Ten Commandments, don't just go through them. Don't just skip through them. Break that down and get those scriptures.
It's amazing about that covetousness. You know, you read about covetousness and you're just thinking like, okay, I shouldn't want anything. But when he break it down, especially in reading in 2 Thessalonians, that was powerful.
Yes.
It's like, I'm going to let you believe that lie. And that goes back to some of the way the Catholics has filled their lies onto our people, took our religion away.
Yep.
And
our heritage, our culture.
Right. Because our people have not or don't want to wake up and get uncomfortable and remove themselves from the same narrative that was depicted on our people years ago, he's let them believe that lie. That's that.
That's right. That's right. And we're trying to wake people up to the truth that they lied. And because you choose not to listen to the truth, he's turned you over to the delusion of institutionalized religion.
Right.
And Christianity, which is not in the Bible. Christian is in there, but not Christianity. That's become a religious form handed down to you by the Catholic Church to take advantage of you and turn your kindness into a weakness and destroy you with lies. How many people were killed and destroyed with their love and seeking the truth, but they get a lie?
Hmm.
Right? So let's close off covetousness with these scriptures. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I don't have to lust after it. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of Yah. And he will add righteousness. He didn't say seek that picture every morning and say this mantra and do all these things. No, he said, just seek me and I will supply all your needs. Hebrews 13:5. Let me get that one. And I'll be done with the reading of the law. Then I'll come back. Yeah, actually, you know what I've done is I've combined the lesson and the law all together. And so that's going to pretty much be our lesson for the day. Go ahead, you have it.
Hebrews 13:5. It's one of my favorites because it's highlighted. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have.
Man, that sums it up. Say that again. Read it again. Louder, please.
This is Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation.
So first of all, how you talk every day to people needs to be monitored. Are you talking about what you want, what you're going to get, what you're going to have? Are you living in the now, present, and are you living in your now with gratitude? Go ahead, let's really read the rest.
Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as he has. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Where you are is where he meant for you to be. Stop living today talking about tomorrow. I got to get it. James. I have to find it. I think it's 5. Let's Let's see. Go to James, the fifth chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've tried. Where are you? Are you there?
Mm-hmm.
Go to the second chapter while I'm looking through here. Let me find it. It's one of my favorite scriptures. I should know by heart. I'm sorry about that. Let's see. I'm looking for the scripture that says that you're not supposed to give any thought about tomorrow. And I'm in the book of James. Well, I'll find it. You still haven't found it. We'll find, give it to you in 1 second. Pretty much what I'm saying, let's get back to the covetousness. He said, "Let in Hebrews, let not your conversation be about the things you want, the things you want to attain. Your conversation should be in rejoicing and praising Yah, the commandments, and thanking him for what you have." When he says, "I shall supply all your needs according to his riches," so not your wants, and quickly your wants get you to break the commandments, which is covetousness. And 1 John 3 and 4 tells us that breaking this law constantly not only is a sin, but will keep you out of the kingdom of God. We just read these scriptures. And what's happening is you're living in a delusional society who has set you up to break the 10th commandment of covetousness, and you have become delusional because you're quick to believe a lie. And the whole world is steeped in lies. Your television shows are lies. Your news are lies. There was a YouTube video that came out that showed 100 news commentators all throughout the United States at the 6 o'clock news all saying the same thing the same way because they had the same editor and they had to present the same information, false narrative to people to throw them off.
Mm-hmm.
The whole everything you're living is a lie. When you walk out your door, it's the Matrix. They're not. They don't want you to know the true history of your culture, your nation, your race, who we serve, what God wants from us, the grafting in of the nations, the branches. They don't want you to see prophecies being fulfilled, that there are wars taking place, and that they want you to believe that something strange is going to come from outer space to kill you, and all the demons that are here to attack you are on this earth, and they're here. But what's coming out of that sky will be nothing but the Messiah, spoken of in the book of Jude, with 10,000 of his saints to come and save those who are less fortunate and who are meek, who are humble, and who need saving. Be content. What's that scripture in James?
It's James 4, verse 13. It says, "Go to now, ye that today or tomorrow we will go into such a city." Is it that?
Mm-hmm.
"City, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Elohim will, we shall live and do this or that."
So he's saying that God willing, which in Arabic is inshallah, God willing, we'll do this tomorrow. That's in James 4 and
13 through 15.
And 13, they were saying, "Let's go over here tomorrow, and we're going to sell all this so we can come up and get some money."
Yeah.
So you're being covetous in your conversation that Hebrews spoke against, because they're trying to plan for another day how they about to get this money.
Okay.
And all these get-rich-quick schemes, everything else, when you just work hard and enjoy the fruits of your labor is what the Most High said do. 6 days work hard, 7th day rest. But they were in James 4. They were talking about tomorrow we're going to go do this and we're going to get this money and we're going to sell this and we're going to come up and we're going to do this. Let's toast to that, my dude. That's what y'all do. You plot and planning because you're covetous because you're setting these. The world has lied to you and told you to set these goals. I'm not telling you to get rid of goals. Your number one goal should be to die more to your flesh and to get closer to Yah. And to see that you make it into the kingdom, because there is no kingdom on this earth. The kingdom I'm building and working hard for is to try to get into the kingdom of Yah with Christ and be there with a brand new home, a brand new heaven and earth, and my spirit redeemed from this corruptible flesh and put on an incorruptible body. I'm trying to live so I can live again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right.
Well, I'm going to close it out right there so you can enjoy the rest of your Sabbath.
Okay.
Yes, I'm going to close it out. I want you to enjoy the rest of your Shabbat. Do you want to comment on any of that? This
no,
delusional
I,
society
I,
and contentness, contentment and covetousness?
I just want to say, as I brought it out as women, and I'm speaking to women because I'm a woman, but I think we get so caught up in the latest trend, the latest hairstyle, the latest, you know, look, the latest image, because, again, this delusion that beauty is what the new trend is has us confused. That's why a lot of women, we deal with anxiety, or we deal with a lack of self-esteem, low self-esteem, because we're not tapping into the Most High Yah. We're expecting a response from people, other genders. We're expecting to always be looked at as being the one or the next best, when we simply just have to know that Yah is the one, and He's created us to be the best, to look the best.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just have to pull ourselves out of this world, as hard as it may seem. And oftentimes it's hard because we see some, oh, I want that look, or we say, oh, I want that. It's hard. But again, I'm going back to the process of getting all of the flesh removed and pruned so we can have good fruit and that we're able to share with us.
Hallelujah. That's good words for the sisters that aspire to be the Proverbs 31 woman, which is
a virtuous woman
and a Titus 2 woman. And to the brothers, I say, work hard as a man and use the gift of your hands and work by the sweat of your brow, because that curse is on us because of Adam. You have to provide for your family. And don't look at what everybody else has. Just be the best man you could be and teach your family to be content with godliness and to be holy and to keep these demons and anxiety and stress off you. Don't try to be like the world. Don't try to be like the reality TV stars.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to be like Will Smith's kids, Steph Curry's kids and all that. He is allotted to you. You're rich. You're rich. You are rich with what you have. Don't let this world lie to you. Don't believe the lies of the news of this earth about what you should take from the doctor to be whole. Come on, come back to Yah. Come back to His word. See through the lies and the bullcrap of the scriptures that these people are giving you.
Yeah.
They're giving you their narrative, and they're giving you their exegesis.
Yeah.
Not proper eisegesis. That's a Jedi mind trick when somebody reads the scripture and then starts becoming philosophical and pontificating and walking and talking and don't go back to the Bible. Give me scriptures and then shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works. So we just want you to know that we love you, care about you, we're praying for you. Reach out to us at Almhoida Church on Facebook through Messenger, and let us know what your prayer request is. If you're battling sickness, you need prayer. Hey, we're in this together, and that's what we want to do for you. Still looking to fellowship on holy days and come together, so we will be doing that. And with that being said, the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey and not a destination. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
We're gonna tear your kingdom down, oh Lord. Say, we're gonna tear your kingdom down. Oh yes, you've been a building your kingdom, oh Lord. Your kingdom down. You better watch out now, Satan. Oh, the preachers are gonna preach your kingdom down. Oh, yes, you've been building your mothers are gonna bring your kingdom down. Oh, you better watch out now, Satan. Oh, the mothers are gonna bring your kingdom down. Oh, oh yes, you've been bidden your kingdom to all over his land. That's all right, Satan.
Satan, we're gonna tear your kingdom down.
I heard Jesus out on the mount one day say, blessed are they that mourn. Ooh, ooh, Lord, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. You know, this takes my mind back to the clear hills of Carolina. I never will forget that little wooden church that we had there. We didn't have pianos. We didn't have nothing but drums. There were times when the saints would just nod their head. They would just pat their feet. I'd like to remind Satan one more time. His time is just about out. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, Satan, Satan, Satan. We're gonna tear your kingdom down. You better watch out now.
Satan.
Jesus. Mm-hmm.